from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
AGC's Dog Nation is with us on Tuesdays. We were just talking about various teams, football season coming up, and what do they need to validate? And all different levels of needs, team by team, validations. I said, I don't think Georgia needs to validate anything. It's the best program in America. I got a feeling you're going to disagree.
Well, I don't know. I think every program's got things they have to work on, and I mean, validate is kind of a strong word. I mean, you're right from the perspective that Georgia doesn't have any glaring weaknesses. I suppose if you pick at it, they've had trouble in the SEC championship game with Alabama, but now, you know, Nick Saban's not there anymore. That seemed like that was a big hurdle for them. I think their schedule, Bill, I mean, you got to play at Tuscaloosa, you got to play at Texas, you got to play at Ole Miss. You open with Clemson. I don't think that's a cakewalk. And you still have rivals like Tennessee and Auburn, maybe at home, but still, those are teams that have beaten you in Sanford Stadium before that have really good coaches. You know, Hugh Freeze and Josh Heupel have, you know, those are two of the best offensive minds in college football. So Missouri isn't on Georgia's schedule, but maybe that's a team they meet in the SEC title game with the Tigers' schedule. They seem to be getting better and better under Eli Drinkwitz. So I think just the field, right? I mean, it's a long, tough season.
Let me angle the question, maybe change it a little bit. Where is Georgia better on the field this season coming up than in 23?
Probably the defensive line jumps out at me, probably at running back, at quarterback, probably at linebacker. Special teams is really strong. I'm not sure if I'm ready to say they're better on the offensive line. They lost Cedric Van Prand, who was a cornerstone center and a three-year starter. Actually, I think he might have been a four-year starter. Amarius Mims was a first-round pick at right tackle, although he missed some games last year. I think they're pretty strong across the board, but running back definitely better. Probably going to drop off at receiver and tight end. Better at quarterback. The defensive line, though, to me is where Georgia will make the biggest jump. You know, last year, Bill, they fell all the way down to 18th in the nation in run defense, and they'd either, I think they led the nation in run defense three of the previous 4 years. So that was probably the biggest drop-off last year. Secondary, they got to replace three guys. But they're pretty strong across the board, though, to your point.
Do you think overall they're better team, better roster than they were a year ago? Just top to bottom, in general.
Yeah, probably top to bottom, but man, Brock Bowers was just such a weapon, you know, just so uncoverable. I mean, you lost your Superman player, and Ladd McConkey, I mean, you had two guys there that were just so explosive, you know. I just don't know that they really tapped into the full potential of either of those guys because of the injuries. You know, you didn't really see those guys at the end of the year at their best. And that was kind of the difference, I thought, for Georgia.
You spent a lot of your life in Michigan, went to Michigan State, actually not long ago worked there briefly before coming back to the South. If Ryan Day loses to this transitioning Michigan team, does he make it to the locker room after the game before he's fired?
Wow. You're talking about Michigan. If he loses to Michigan, listen, Michigan's lost so much.
Correct.
I just don't think so. I mean, I don't want to hand Ohio State the Big Ten trophy, but really, Bill, who's out there? I mean, I know that Luke Fickell's a great coach at Wisconsin, but has he been able to recruit the kind of talent that's necessary to beat the Ohio State? And James Franklin at Penn State, speaking of coaches, it'll expire sooner or later.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, Penn State's got to get over the hump with him, right?
Yep. It's been a while. They won. What year was it they beat Ohio State, won the Big Ten? They lost to Michigan and Pitt to start with, and they went on a run. I believe that was 16 or 17. It's been a little bit of distance there.
Yeah, it's been a minute, and, you know, and I thought, you know, what James Franklin did at Vanderbilt was so impressive, and I thought he was a good hire for Penn State. But that's – isn't it interesting how Penn State's just kind of drifted into the background? I mean, that seemed like – the type of program that could compete for national titles, but it really hasn't.
You mentioned something a few weeks ago about Charlie Condon. How big is Charlie Condon in the, I don't want to, history of Georgia sports, meaning University of Georgia sports? Where is his star ascending home run after home run?
I mean, he's the Herschel Walker of Georgia baseball. I mean, and he's becoming the SEC's one of the greatest players in SEC history. I mean, this dude leads the nation in home runs, batting average, and slugging percentage. I mean, that's just ridiculous. In the best league in college baseball, Billy's hit home runs in seven straight games. It's not like golf, where it's just you and the ball. The other team's trying to stop him from doing it. I mean, I don't even, that's mind-boggling to me that you would even get a pitch to hit out every game. But seven games in a row? I mean, this home run total, he's got 33 home runs in, what, 47 games? And they went to these BB Corp bats, I guess, in 2011, kind of changed the power of the bat. And he's hit more home runs than anybody since they've done that. I think the all-time record is 40. And I remember I was covering Alabama baseball when Brandon Larson did that at LSU in 1997. Charlie's got 33, and they got six games left in the regular season, and then the tournament. It looks like Georgia will be in the tournament. They might host a regional. They've got South Carolina on the road and then home against Florida. If they can win half those games, pretty good chance they're going to host a regional for the first time since 2019. So, yeah, Charlie Condon's a big deal. He's about as big a deal as it gets in college baseball. I don't know how much power or how much weight baseball carries. I know Vanderbilt used to be really good at that, and now that they don't have that built-in private school advantage, you know, Tim Corbin, a guy that somebody thought was such a great coach. I mean, they got run ruled twice up here, Bill. Georgia run ruled Vanderbilt baseball twice and swept them, and, you know, all of a sudden now it doesn't look like Vandy baseball is such a thing now that NIL's around.
Also, and you touched on it, with Charlie Condon, it's not like they're giving him pitches to hit, right? They couldn't be.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, if the guy leads the nation in home runs and batting average, you might want to walk him every now and then or try to pitch around him, but he's just, I mean, and you meet the guy and he's got a poise about him, like, I don't know, and I think you would agree with me on this. When you interview a great, like, you know when you're in the presence of greatness. Like, you can just tell.
Right.
There's just a certain air. And this guy's got it. Like, when you talk to this guy, I mean, he's so special, he ain't got to tell you he's special. It reminds me of when I interviewed Greg Maddux. It was like, I mean, this guy, he was just unbelievable. And Condon strikes me somewhat similar to Greg Maddux in the poise and the confidence and just, I mean, this is just a guy, Bill, that knows when you throw the pitch, he's going to hit out of the park. He's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry to get to the majors. When it comes, it comes. He knows he'll be ready. He's just got such a presence about him. You're going to see him in the major leagues.
He's listed at 6'6", 220 or something?
6'4", at least. Yeah, he's a big dude. but you look at him and it's not like he's got these bulging, you know, Mark McGwire muscles. He's not that type of dude. He's just lean and, you know what, kind of like a cobra up there with that bat speed. Plays a lot of different positions, really athletic. Just a ball player, man.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. Mike the Mad Dog Noon in Georgia. Ask Griff who is the most underrated team on Georgia's schedule this year.
I don't think enough people are talking about Tennessee. I just, you know, Josh has got his guys in there now, and he won with a lot of Jeremy's guys early, but now he's getting his guys. Nico's intriguing to me at quarterback. I think Tennessee's going to be better than people realize. I like the way that team plays. They're edgy. You saw what they did to Alabama for one half in Tuscaloosa. I just think there's a lot of potential with what's going on with NIL in Tennessee and the way Josh Heupel builds a program.
Yeah, because you can't say Ole Miss is underrated. It's the best Ole Miss roster I've seen in my lifetime, Griff. So they're not underrated. You may be right about that.
Yeah, you know, I guess Auburn doesn't strike me as a team that's done much in the offseason with the portal. I don't want to underestimate Hugh Freeze, but I wonder where their talent level's at a little bit. And I'm just not ready to X off Clemson yet. I know I probably should, but they've won five games in a row. And I think Dabo's a really good coach. I just don't know where they're at from a talent perspective, you know, compared to where they were. Still think they're going to play good football. Still think that's going to be a good opener for Georgia.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. How much baseball are you doing this time of year?
Not as much as usual. You know, we had that Dog Nation cruise that took me away for a week.
Right.
This week they're on the road. You'd probably turn up the wick a little bit at the end of the year, especially with what George is doing. Like you said, I mean, college baseball is still a bit of a niche sport. I think it's getting bigger, and certainly it's hard to imagine the SEC getting any better, but you know, but here we are. Isn't Tennessee number one now? I know A&M was one for a while.
They are.
It's such a dominant league. It's crazy the way the SEC dominates baseball. I think Georgia's up to 12 now under Wes Johnson. I mean, he's first-year coach. This guy's really been a story.
You've covered Hoover quite a few times in your history, though, right?
Yeah, back in the day when I was covering Alabama and Auburn, I mean, that's like a state event. You know, but then for a while, Georgia was having trouble sticking around there.
Right.
So it hadn't made a lot of sense. I mean, maybe we check it out. But, you know, here's the question. I mean, watching what happened to Auburn basketball, where they got seeded after the SEC basketball tournament, and thinking about how the SEC baseball tournament has or hasn't mattered, I'm just not sure how relevant the SEC tournaments really are in basketball or baseball when it comes to seedings.
Well, yeah, Ole Miss, I don't remember Ole Miss winning a game 2 years ago when they won the national championship. I don't think they even showed up, it seemed like.
Right. I mean, so I know it's a revenue producer, and I know it's entertaining for the fans, so I don't really want to poo-poo it, but I think they need to make that event more relevant in the seedings and carry more weight. I mean, I'm looking at Georgia softball right now, and, you know, I think they were top two or three team in the nation at the start of the year. A lot of graduate students probably, you know, the grind. They realize that all that really matters is postseason. I mean, I don't even know why you want to win a game down there. What good does it do you? You know, I mean, what's the incentive, right? I think these league tournaments, there needs to be some incentive built in. And I'm not necessarily saying cash incentive, but I mean, it needs to be relevant. I mean, imagine in the NFL if there was like an NFC tournament before the playoff or something. You'd be like, well, what's the point of that? It just doesn't make sense.
Griff, we'll see you next week, sir. Appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it, Bill.
There you go. Patton, I think we're late. Are we late to the break here? I'm not hearing any music. Anyways, we are clear the rest of the way. As we continue when we come out of the break, it is lot of latitude. Lots of latitude. We'll go wherever the bleep you want to go with it. Gator Dave is a no-go today. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Trying to clean up this wreck on Ellington Parkway southbound just before you get down to the bottom there at Spring Street. Also, we had one a few minutes ago. They just moved to the site on 40 West over here just past the airport in the Donaldson area as it continues to really build out of Wilson County on 40 coming west through the Mount Juliet area, headed towards Nashville. 24 is heavy right on schedule westbound up through Laverne, Smyrna, coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, again up through the Antioch area. It's really starting to load up. A 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee, Tomahawk, Crane, and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
You enjoy the thrill of gambling, but what happens when it becomes a problem? Whether you want to cut back or quit gambling altogether, the Gambling Clinic has been helping people change their gambling for over two decades. We're here to help, not to judge. The Gambling Clinic is a Tennessee-based clinic offering in-person and telehealth support to help people win back their life. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouthwatering favorites today. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale, where you can load up on all the delicious flavor you crave at half the price. And when you use promo code SIZZLE at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Save big on delicious, tender, juicy steaks, big, beefy burgers, and so much more. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor and endless value. Every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Simply go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale today. And don't forget to use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get an extra $30 off your order. Hurry, because this deal won't last long. Kickstart your spring grilling today. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Hit high and deep to left center. This has got a chance. Gone! Another home run for Molson. He smokes another one. He lit the fuse on this bomb, and that's gone!
Listen to every pitch live, exclusively on your home for Atlanta Braves baseball. WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
No cap, says Bill. Gonna be a fun baseball tournament. Six SEC, seven ACC. Six G5 schools ranked in the top 25 by D1 baseball. As opposed to football, if you want to sell the anybody can win it, which really isn't that true, but it's certainly more true in baseball than the oblong spheroid. It's way more true. Now, let's look at the last few years. You've got LSU last year. That was considered the best team going in. Again, they did not have the curse of the one seed, though. That was Wake Forest. LSU won it. On paper, should have won it. Played the next best team to win it, Florida. In a winner-take-all game. Year before that now, you can claim anybody can win it. Now, Ole Miss had a good team, but their season wasn't particularly notable. I don't think they busted a grape or even attempted to bust a grape in the SEC tournament, which, again, does perhaps invalidate, using our term, how much that tournament actually means. Unless you need to win games to get to the postseason, advancing past the conference championship. Before that, it was Mississippi State came down to a last game against Vanderbilt and Mr. Rocker. And then, who won it the year before that? See, I'm forgetting. That was 23, 22, 21. Oh, we didn't have one in 20. 19, wasn't that Vanderbilt? Was 19 Corbin's second natty? Correct me. I think so, but...
It was.
Is there... Okay, Patton. So... Corbin has been on a really good run. It does appear to be deteriorating. I want to be careful there because it's Tim Corbin, who's easily a Hall of Famer. I want to be careful. It looks like it's starting to invalidate. Now, invalidate in that instance just means an incredible career that has to, at some point, if you're going to stick around, has to erode. Very few go out like Dr. Tom went out. Even the superstar coaches usually hang around. Nick didn't. Nick could have hung around many years longer, I think. Nick didn't. I thought he would. But those are rare, right? And Nick's the best ever. I hope I'm wrong, but it looks like Vanderbilt is not correcting with the times. And the only sport that they do anything in that matters, again, that matters, and that's baseball. Alan in Tampa. Bill, thanks for having that carpetbagger of the Caribbean on. I guess because he was on the dog cruise. Carpetbagger of the Caribbean. Mike Griffith checking in with us. That is hilarious. Craig in North Augusta. Bill, Cags has hit home runs in 9 games now in a row. Well, Cags is going to be on the board. He and Condon are going to be on the board draft day about, I don't remember how many minutes they take in the baseball draft. Blink a couple of times, he'll be off the board. 1, 2, 3 doesn't really matter, right? I'll equip a Bob down in the Villages, and Bob is engaged. Josh is engaged. Patton is engaged. Patton's about to be married here in a couple weeks. I'll equip a Bob. Bill, considering Ryan Day is 1-5 in big games, do Ohio State fans really want Day to beat Michigan? Yeah. Beating Michigan supersedes any other angle, any other pursuit angle when it comes to an opinion. Now, here's what I believe Bob is asking. If losing again to Michigan can get you to a coach who is better at winning national championships than Ryan Day, wouldn't you rather just lose that game and get on with it? The answer is no. I can speak for Buckeye fans. The answer is no. They don't have a bigger picture than Michigan. They just don't. I'm not saying that from a harshly critical angle here. I'm saying it as factual. Nothing supersedes that game for them. Now, we may disagree with that. I personally, because I don't have an emotional investment in it, would rather get on to the next guy if you can promise me the next guy's better. Now, you can't make that promise. But if we could pull out a magic wand and we could have, okay, this next guy definitely is going to win big. Bigger. He's going to win national championships. I'd rather lose that game and get on with it. But that is not that fan base. That is not what they're going to say. I know this. Tug in Mount Dora, Florida. Bill, 1 o'clock Eastern time. Yeehaw Junction Gym in Jupiter versus Perry Mason. God almighty. Well, first of all, they're friends. So I doubt we're going to get them to fight. Both big boys. One likes whiskey, the other one doesn't. I mean, we've got, you know, one likes Florida, one likes Florida State. But no, they're friends. They just don't agree on teams, which is cool. I'm good with that. No Kev up in Chicago. Bill Griff just can't help himself. Always got to get a dig in on Vandy. He does. You got to remember, though, Griff comes from the, well, I don't want to say it comes from. Griff has adapted through the years to some of the Feinbaum tactics. I don't want to say comes from it because he doesn't come from that. He's adapted in that direction. Now, he's not trying to be Feinbaum, but he says things like about Vanderbilt for the response. I can promise you, Griff doesn't care whether Vanderbilt wins or loses a ball game. Doesn't care whether they build a new facility or not. What he does care about is the response he's going to get by poking the bear there. That's what gets him giddy. You have to remember, and again, I like Griff. Folks like Griff and others love it when you come after him. They don't get their feelings hurt over that. They love it. That's the point. I never understood that. When I first got in this business, I didn't understand it. I'm from a world of, yeah, you agree, you disagree, but you don't want to necessarily have haters out there. That's the world I came from. I get into this business, and you know what my first lesson was? I don't remember what year it was, but it's somewhere 87, 88. I'm just, you know, foot barely in the door. In this new world that I never thought about entering. Never occurred to me to go do any of this. Wasn't a dream. Nobody around me told me it'd be good. Nothing. No direction. No point me in this direction at all. Again, out of nowhere, I'm attempting to get in here, having never thought about it before. And one of the first things I remember is we would have on the show some of the columnists from the Tennessean newspaper. Still the main newspaper, right? The Tennessean. And one of them was Larry Woody at the time. And Larry would do some columns, but he also covered Vanderbilt. And Larry was one of those guys that was kind of a really smart country boy. Larry's still alive. His partner, David Clymer, who we used to have on, passed away a couple of years ago from the dreaded pancreatic cancer. But both of those guys, and one was a, if you want to go politics, not that it matters, but one was a righty, the other one was a lefty. They're very good friends. And I knew them both very well. They were nice to me. Usually young new guy comes in, they don't like it much. They were very nice to me. I got lucky there. But anyways, Larry wrote a column. I don't even remember what it was. And it was controversial, and everybody's mad. The town sees it. You got to remember now, this is late 80s. We're not in the internet era. We're not in the message board era. We're not in social media. We're not really even in... If cell phones existed then, it was that big block thing. And I had one of the first ones. That big thing that was the size of a Brico block. Totally different era. And so when you write a column and you tick everybody off, everybody in the town reads it. Everybody in the 615 reads it. And I remember thinking, man, he's catching a lot of heat. I bet you he's worried. And then my partner, many, many decades older than me, longtime TV guy, star in this town, said, Bill, he tells the editors of the paper, when all the complaints come in, print them. The more the merrier. And I remember thinking, whoa, what is that? What do you mean? You want all these people foaming at the mouth, writing their editorial hatred towards you? You want that public? Hell yeah, Bill. I remember I was just like, you, what? I'm not from there. I don't understand that. I didn't understand that world at all. And it was one of the first come to Jesus, here's this world you just entered. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody thinks like that. There are a lot of people that are thin-skinned in the media and don't want to be critiqued. But that ilk wants it. The more the merrier. The more they can say things that upset you, the better. They don't care whether you like them or not. They don't care whether you want to write nice things about them or not. Matter of fact, when you say or write mean things about them, that gets them off. It's okay to say that. I think it is. Yeah. That makes them giddy. How about that? And I don't think Griff did not originate there, but he's there now. Now, he doesn't do it like Feinbaum. He doesn't do it all hours of every day like Feinbaum. But that's why you get that. And I've always liked Griff because I don't need Griff to be Mr. Sensible guy. I don't need Griff to be the voice, everybody's voice of reason. I don't need that. I do not need that. Jeff 2 said, Bill, I have to do some major bean counting, but as far as I can see, Vanderbilt in 19 was the last baseball team to do a clean sweep. SEC regular season champs, tournament champs, and national champs. That is a fantastic point. And a heck of a stat. That is a wonderful statistic. Who was the one seed that year, though? Who was the one seed in 19 when we got to the NCAA tournament? And we'll get the break.
Good morning. It's pretty crowded down here now on Ellington Parkway, trying to get down from the top down to the bottom as they clean up that accident before you get down to Spring Street. It's slow 65 south coming past Dickerson Pike all the way down to Trinity Lane. It's still heavy over here on 40 westbound as a moving accident right near the airport, actually just in the area of Briley Parkway. Again, that's a lot of rubbernecking delays. It's loading up pretty good through the Mount Juliet area on 40 going west, headed towards Nashville. Prince's Hot Chicken now has new items on a new menu. You got to check them out today at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
buyandtow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit buyandtow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, buyandtow.com. That's buyandtow.com.
A friend of mine just bought a new house for the first time. A new house. I mean, my wife and I'd love to own a house. So I asked him how he did it. And he smiled and he said he went to the knowledge tree. He had this happy look on his face. So I told him to tell me more. And he said, John, the lack of knowledge will keep you poor. Then he handed me a brochure. It was from Knowledge Tree Mortgage. Now I understood. And after one phone call, I understood even more. Knowledge Tree Mortgage specializes in first-time homebuyers. Folks like me who get the runaround from banks. And he got us pre-qualified. Knowledge Tree Mortgage got us our mortgage. And tomorrow, my wife and I are going to become first-time homebuyers. Here's the number, 859-9599. 859-9599. Money doesn't grow on trees. Knowledge does. Knowledge Tree Mortgage, 859-9599. 859-9599.
And now, Sunspace Sunrooms RVM Development are proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless efforts should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Sunspace Sunrooms RVM Development. For maintenance-free enclosures, sunrooms, screen rooms, patios, and more, give Russ a call today. And ask about their senior military and first responder discounts. 423-225-2414. 423-225-2414. Or visit sunspacesunrooms.com. That's Sunspace Sunrooms RVM Development. They're professionals who care.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Titans trade for Legarius Sneed. I'm going to give you who he went up against in the 2023 season. Justin Jefferson, arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Two catches, 14 yards. A.J. Brown in Philadelphia. One catch, 4 yards. Stephon Diggs, one catch, 3 yards.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Top 8 seeds in 19. Jeff 2 looked it up. UCLA was 1. I wouldn't have thought of that. 2 was Vanderbilt. Georgia Tech 3. Georgia number 4. 5 was Arkansas, Mississippi State 6, Louisville, and then Texas Tech. And Jim from Jupiter brings it up all the time. Last team to do it as the one seed, Miami, 1919. About 25 years ago. And Jeff, too, says, Bill, best of my knowledge, last team to clean sweep it, meaning win your league, regular season, win the conference tournament, and then the NCAA baseball tournament all the way through Omaha, Vanderbilt. I know this is going to be interesting, but I wonder over the last, since Miami, how many teams have the clean sweep? Now, Tennessee, it looked like they would do it, well, maybe look like that, 2 years ago. That team routed the SEC. Went to the tournament, won it. Baseball meaning the conference tournament, and then didn't get to Omaha. And they were the one seed. They certainly were trending like they were going to do it. It did not complete. They did not do what, everybody? Validate. Now, again, different definition. They had a hell of a year. But the ultimate national championship validation did not come through. Right now, who's ranked number one in the nation? That would be Tony Bowles. That would be Mr. Tony Bowles. Mike the Mad Dog, what we were just talking about. Bill, when you are controversial, confrontational is his word, in sports media, keeps the average fan talking about you, whether they like you or not. That is the point. I did not understand that about 40 years ago. 35, 40 years ago. I did not understand that. I learned it fast, but it was new. Mike from the 229 says, Bill, this is on the text line. First of all, Mike, appreciate you using the text line. I promote it. It's relative to the show's history. It's new. 615-844-5600. I encourage anybody that feels like you want to communicate, but you don't like social media and you're not going to call. This is your angle. The text line says, Bill, Mike in Bonaire, Georgia. Make sure I'm pronouncing that right. Is it Bonaire? I think it is. I'm a Georgia alum, he says. Season ticket holder since 97. Since NIL currently comes from the school. Or actually, it comes from the collective. It hasn't impacted our donations or prices of tickets. But I worry about what happens when the schools start paying these players directly. What the financial impact will be for the average fan. It is obvious the fan, especially us average Joes, get no consideration in any of this. Always enjoy the show. I haven't thought about that. That is a absolutely terrific point. That is a wonderful question and or point. Once several things happen simultaneously, the schools start directly paying the players, and they start having to pay off the debt of that lawsuit, which is a collective lawsuit, not the collectives, I just mean collectively the schools, which they're estimating is going to be about $30 million a year over 10 years. Now, that includes the payoff on the lawsuit and the agreement as part of the lawsuit to start paying the players between 17 and 21 million bucks. Now, again, that's per school, and if you can't afford it, you don't have to do that. But those are the numbers being thrown out right now. I know that's confusing. That's not the point of the show today. If I confuse you there, I don't mean to. The SEC and the Big Ten, that's not going to hurt them at all. That $30 million, which includes the payout, and some of that could be covered up with insurance too. But some schools, it will be very difficult. And we've talked about some schools may have to shut down some sports. It will also give schools the chance to add more scholarships, if need be, like to baseball. How many will afford that? How many want to afford it? And what he's asking, okay, Bill, are they going to pass that buck on to us? Because college administrators need to understand, college football is a passion and a love. But you're maxing out what you're asking the fans. And I know it's heavily corporate, which doesn't at all include Joe Sixpack, right? I understand that. But there's a delicate balance here Mike and Bonaire George is talking about, and he's right. How they pass that buck on, or if they do, is a very dangerous game. Something we haven't really talked about. That's a very fragile game to play. Be very careful. So far, that is easily the text or the That's the mention of the day on the show, easily.
Good morning. Trying to finish up the paperwork on a couple of accidents out here. That one was over to the side on 65 southbound at Dickerson Pike. Boy, is it slow down through there now in Madison on 65 south, working your way down to Trinity Lane. It remains heavy in a couple of spots out here, like 24 westbound up through Antioch, coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. As you head towards Nashville, really busy through the Mount Juliet area as that loads up pretty good with some volume there at the Wilson County, Davidson County line on 40 going westbound. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken now has new items on a brand new menu. You got to order online today. It's worth it. PrincessHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
Dog parents are loving Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend premium dog food.
The way she acts and the way she moves, it's just so much better. And she actually, she's like a puppy again. It's unbelievable.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a freeze-dried raw food made with zero artificial preservatives. So it's naturally shelf-stable with no mess, freezer, or fridge required. Plus, it's full of premium turkey, beef, salmon, and meat your dog will love.
We started with Nature's Blend. She's happy. She sleeps well. She's energetic. I am just delighted with this product.
When given the choice, Nature's Blend and Amazon's number one bestseller in dry dog food, 29 out of 30 dogs chose Nature's Blend first.
I'm so confident your dog will love it. Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of delicious beef liver treats. Go to drmartypets.com/healthy or text healthy to 511-511. Text healthy to 511-511.
All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request.
Paid for by Dr. Marty's Pets.
And now, Kingdom Doors is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please visit USO.org and locate Military Care Package to see how you could help make a difference today. This message is brought to you by Kingdom Doors. For custom garage door installations, service, and repairs, give the pros a call today at 615-810-6415, 615-810-6415, or visit kingdom-doors.com. That's Kingdom Doors. They're professionals who care.
JB and the General.
I am in no means a chiseled goddess. God, I don't have a six pack. I'm not looking like The Rock out here. But goodness gracious, George Niang legitimately has a beer belly out on the floor right now.
Yeah, but so does Jokic. He's the best player in the world.
Well, George Niang is clanking them off the backboard.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
On Air Georgia. Who brings up just a fantastic point. The sport is changing to a pro model. 100%. Not speculation, 100%. The lawsuit's going to cost in the billions. Inside the agreement of the lawsuit, there will be agreements about salary for players coming from the school. The collectives won't go away. That'll be a, if you want to call it a side hustle, but it could be a lucrative side hustle. And Mike wants to know, are they going to pass the buck? I'm going to repeat, that is a very dangerous game if they do. Because college football and the administrators have been asking decade after decade for more from the fan bases. Your TV viewing. You're going to games. The parking. The tickets. In Allen's case, the suite. And you're changing the innocence of the game, whether you want to believe how innocent it had been or not, to a pro model, which is not necessarily what everybody wants. And then you may attempt to ask for more. I've posed this question for 40 years, almost 40 years, on my show. To date, the money keeps ascending. Hasn't slowed down. Didn't slow down at 9/11. Didn't slow down in the housing crisis in 08. Now, there were layoffs and things happened, but the TV money did not slow down. COVID and all the shutdowns and everything else, the TV money remained. Wouldn't let hardly anybody in the stadium, which was idiotic. The whole thing was idiotic, but it happened. So there have been crises, several of them, last 20 years. TV contracts continue, at least with the power groups, to go up. Now, not everybody. Pac-12 priced themselves out of existence, literally priced themselves out of existence. ACC is very wobbly right now, but the two superstars, not at all. Their money is still ascending. My question has been, dating back to Roy Kramer in the early 90s, when's the money going to slow down? To date, it hasn't. It never slows down. This might be the ultimate litmus test. Playoff money's still going up. It tripled this last time. The new deal triples the original deal. This might be, again, the ultimate litmus test. And the assumption that America is a bunch of dogs, and by the way, I love animals, dogs, but unconditional loyalty is your dog, right? One of the many things I love about dogs. But assuming that the fan base planet is no different than a dog is a very dangerous assumption. I think they assume that, though. They may be right. I mean, they may be right. I'm still here, right? I haven't gone anywhere. I don't like any of this stuff going on. I'm still here. I still love it. When I look at teams and think about games coming up in the playing portion, I don't think about any of that other stuff. I think about the ball game on the field, and I love it. The other stuff, I disgust me. But it's where we're at. That's going to be, next 5 years will be interesting. You got to remember, in the next 5 years, they're going to be talking about the next playoff contract and the next Big Ten contract for the league. That's not that far off, y'all. So do we go from $400, $500 million currently in the playoff deal to the next one, which we know is $1.3 billion? What are they going to want on the next one? From the TV folks. What's the bid on the next one that they feel like they can sell ads on and make a profit? $2 billion? $2.5 billion? What's it going to be? Yeah. Mike just did a fantastic job. He stimulated the show, man. He stimulated the brain. It's a very interesting point. I haven't thought much about that yet. He just made me think about it. John down on the Emerald Coast said, Bill, and he's a Mississippi State fan, 2021 Mississippi State was tired going into the SEC tournament, lost two straight games, including a run rule loss, went home, got rested, marched through the regional supers and the College World Series. Yep. The conference tournament doesn't mean anything. I mean, if you're watching your team, you want them to win, but it doesn't mean anything. It does not translate as this is the step for your NCAA tournament success. The NCAA tournament, baseball, is an incredible reset. You know, we talk about each Saturday being a reset in football, college football. That's a high-level reset mechanism, for sure. Hour 3 coming up.